Everybody just needs to speak up.
Yep, next.
One microphone.
Mike Driscoll?
Back quote, Mr. Morgan.
We ready to call the meeting over? Everyone's okay?
We're live.
We're live? Okay. November meeting 2010 of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board in Schenectady, New York, joined by my colleague board members Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. At the outset of the meeting, let me note with sorrow the passing of our friend and board employee Stephen Harkavy. A rather sudden departure from this earth. Steve was a holiday employee here, but a friend of mine of over 30 years, and I know he'll be missed, and this agency will be less well off for his passing. With that being said, I will ask Secretary Gail Pronto to begin the agenda with the public comment period.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order at 11:05. Public comment, anyone?
Hearing none, let's move the agenda items.
Approve the minutes of the board meeting held on October 21st, 2010.
So moved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meetings, minutes are approved.
Items previously approved as approved by the chair, there were 125 since our last meeting. Items previously approved, denied, or deferred by the board, 4 since the last meeting. And we have 7 items to take up today. Our first item is the Buffalo Raceway 2010 Track and Simulcast License Application.
Mr. Lynch.
The racing dates for the Fairgrounds Gaming Raceway, better known as Buffalo Raceway, are January 14th. 2011 through July 24th. 90 programs, there were 90 in 2010. From January to July, there was live racing Fridays and Saturdays from January 14th through the 22nd. There will be live racing Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays thereafter through June 2nd. Beginning on June 5th, Sunday afternoon programs are added to the Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday evening programs. All live racing programs will be contested at night except on Sundays throughout the 2011 season. First post time for each Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday nighttime program will be 6:40 p.m. The first post on Sunday afternoons beginning on June 5th will be at 1:05 p.m. We have the wagering format. It's the same as last year. Applications for a year 2011 racing and simulcast license from Fairgrounds Gaming and Raceway have been received and reviewed. All members of the Buffalo Raceway and Erie County Fair Board are currently licensed. A lease agreement between the Erie County Agricultural Society and the Buffalo Trotting Association extends from October 22, 2003 through October of 2013. A multi-year horseman's contract between the Western New York Harness Horsemen's Association and Buffalo Raceway has an expiration date of December 31st of 2011. Buffalo Raceway is also applying at this time to waive the requirement that all purse checks earned by its horsemen may be distributed during 2011 beyond the 72-hour requirement of the board rule. A letter dated September 24, 2010 from the Western New York Harness Horsemen's Association expresses permission for such distribution. The latest submitted fire inspection has been forwarded to the board and is dated September 27th of 2010, addressing the Erie County Fairgrounds by its local jurisdiction, the town of Hamburg. This agreement was completed with inspections on August 11th of 2010 and signed by a code enforcement officer of the town of Hamburg. This inspection includes the barns and the grooms quarters and the grandstand, and the property has been found to conform to the town of Hamburg fire code as well as the New York State Uniform Fire Prevention and Building Code. Backstretch security of Buffalo Raceway has been maintained during recent years. A sample stall application was included, and there were no changes from the previous year's submission. The stalls of Buffalo Raceway are now closed during the off-season. All trainers submitting stall applications are duly notified that workman's compensation insurance coverage is mandatory. Buffalo has applied for 90 racing dates for the 2011 season. Staff has found the track and simulcast applications to be substantially complete. Buffalo Raceway apply for the 90 racing programs. And pursuant to Section 307 of the racing law, Buffalo Raceway shall conduct a minimum of 143 racing programs. However, Section 307 states that the minimum race day calculation shall not affect an agreement with a horseman in effect on or before the January 1st, 2009. Buffalo Raceway's agreement with their horseman was in effect on January 1st, 2009. Section 307 also allows the board to grant a license with fewer race days if there are less horses available for competition than in this base year, as defined. And the Horsemen Association concurs by evidence of a horseman's agreement. The horsemen agreed to 90 days of live racing in the written agreement. Section 318 of the racing law requires Buffalo Raceway to conduct 120 days of racing in lieu of higher parimutuel tax rates. However, the tax rates in Section 318.5 subsection A will not apply if the board certifies that the assignment of fewer races was for good cause due to factors beyond the control of the track or because the board found that it would be uneconomical or impractical. Buffalo Raceway submitted financial information that shows a daily average loss of $4,619 per race day. Buffalo Raceway stated that it will be a financial hardship to race more than 90 days, and the additional race days would reduce the average daily purse, which would hurt its ability to attract horses. Buffalo Raceway also mentioned that the horsemen have agreed to 90 days. Buffalo raced 90 days last year in 2009, and 83 days in 2008, 82 days in 2007. The required SAS 70 Type 2 audit report for Buffalo Raceway has been filed with the board. The board staff will issue a separate memo for board information when the report is received. Assistant counsel to the board, William Sekelic, reviewed the CAFO documentation submitted with this application. No material issues were noted. Pursuant to Rule 5100.23D, the board must annually approve Buffalo Raceway's totalizator security plan. Staff has reviewed this plan and found it to be substantially in compliance with the rule. Should be noted that Buffalo Raceway has requested approval to designate at least one parimutuel window to cash outs as defined by 5100.19. There will be a total of two outs windows for the facility. Buffalo Raceway requested the additional window for staffing purposes. Staff notes that the board approved an additional outs window at Buffalo Raceway for the current racing year of 2010. An application for a year 2011 simulcast license for Fairgrounds Gaming and Raceway, Buffalo Raceway has also been received and reviewed. There are no amendments, updates, or changes to prior feasibility study affecting the revenue earnings or costs associated with operating the simulcast facility. Security at the simulcast site, that is the entire track, grandstand, and clubhouse, will be at the same level as in the previous year. Buffalo Raceway utilizes AmTote parimutuel equipment and hubs its simulcast wagers through the AmTote system. Buffalo Raceway has filed a letter from Finger Lakes Racetrack consenting to enter any inter-track wagering conducted at Buffalo Raceway in accordance with Section 1007 of the racing law. There's also a valid horseman's contract between Western New York Harness Horsemen's Association and Buffalo Raceway. Approval of this application for the year 2011 track and simulcast license for Fairgrounds Gaming and Raceway, better known as Buffalo Raceway, is recommended.
Okay, questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Buffalo Raceway track and simulcast application 2011?
Aye.
All right, next item. Item approved, next item.
Item 2 is Capital District Regional OTB 2011 simulcast license application.
Mr. Lynch.
An application for a year 2011 simulcast license from the Capital District Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation has been received and reviewed. There are no amendments, updates, or changes to the prior feasibility study affected with the revenue earnings or costs associated with operating 43 simulcast branches, 31 operating easy bet branches, and one teletheater facility. Capital District Regional OTB operates more wagering outlets than any of the six regional off-track betting corporations in New York State. Regarding the Capital District OTB Easy Bets since inception. The very first licensed Easy Bet at the Meadow Greens in Columbia County has been the leader in producing Hamlet. During 2003, the Boulevard Bowl on Erie Boulevard in the city of Schenectady replaced the Meadow Greens in Columbia County as the leading Hamlet producer among all Capital District OTV Easy Bets, and continued as the Easy Bet leading Hamlet producer during the past 7 years, including again in 2010. Security procedures utilized at the various branches are monitored by Capital OTV's own security force. At all locations, security measures and patron safety measures are in effect. Capital District OTV utilizes United Tow Car Mutual equipment. Capital OTV is also contracted with Roberts Communications Network for frame relay equipment used for secured data transfer directly into Tractor Mutual pools, Verizon, and AT&T for communications of data and video. In 2010, Roberts Communication Network replaced SUNYSTAT in regard to telecommunications generated by the Capital OTV system. Capital District Regional OTV has a current valid contract with its regional track, Saratoga Gaming and Raceway, and is in the midst of a multi-year agreement with the New York Racing Association. Capital District OTV has a few out-of-state contracts that has negotiated itself. Capital District OTV is also party to out-of-state contracts negotiated by the New York City OTV, Nassau OTV, or Catskill OTV with other thoroughbred and harness racetracks. Capital District OTV has a teller betting policy of allowing wagering by a teller only when that teller is not assigned to work. Capital OTV has installed a reporting system to its account wagering system to record the touch tone of a customer's bet. Touch tone wagering has increasingly accounted for more of Capital District OTV's account wagering transaction. This was expected to expand with the introduction of internet wagering. All other account wagering transactions are handled by live operators, voice recognition, or recorded touchdown systems. Internet wagering began after the board approved it in late 2007. Capital District OTV, during this past year, is now promoting its internet wagering by way of advertising its availability to the public. Internet wagering is the fastest growing sector of all of Capital wagering opportunities. $18 million wagered in 2010. Telephone wagering accounted for over $30 million. Together, internet and telephone wagering amounted to 27% of Capital OTV's total wagering of more than $176 million during this current year. As with other potential 2011 licensees, staff of the board has reviewed the 2011 license application for Capital District Regional OTV. Additional information was submitted to the board by Capital District OTV in response to the items questioned and is attached. Staff has found this application now to be substantially complete. Pursuant to Rule 5100.23, subsection D, the board must annually approve Capital District Regional OTV's Totalizator Security Plan. Staff has reviewed the plan and found it to be substantially in compliance with this rule. A separate report will be issued by staff for board information for the required SAS 70 Type 2 audit report for Capital District Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation. Approval for a simulcast license for the year 2011 for Capital District OTV is recommended.
Questions or comments on the Capital OTV simulcast application 2011? Hearing none, I'll move the item. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Item is approved. Next item.
Item 3 is notice of proposed rulemaking recommended revisions for out-of-competition drug testing, 4033.17 and 4120.17.
Mr. Firestein.
Before I defer to Assistant Counsel DeGaulle on this, I'd just simply like to note that this is a revised amended out-of-competition rule submitted to the board as a proposal. As the board is aware, there's been litigation over the other rule, and in the process of that litigation, as well as in the process of continuing staff review, the rule has been fine-tuned, and that's what is before you.
Mr. Goodell.
I would certainly agree with that and expect that our rule will be upheld in court as it's currently written, but in the process of talking with people at FCI and soliciting further info with in the industry, we feel that some other revisions are well advised. Primarily, these revisions are to provide greater protections and assurances to the horse owners and trainers. Such things, for example, requiring expressly that the samples be taken at reasonable times, providing the option of someone bringing their horse to a track within 24 hours, including if they're out of state, by arrangement with other racing commissions, and similar recommendations. These allow us to eliminate some of the more unwieldy provisions of the original rule, such as the requirement that someone out of state but within 100 miles would have to come in and work with their horse. It would also relieve us of the burden of trying to anticipate what horses might race within 180 days, and instead gives the owner a chance to refuse a sampling with no further consequence except that their horse can't race for 180 days. There are a few other aspects to the proposal that would standardize some of the provisions and clarify the one issue that was really a matter of serious discussion in court, and that is our exact definition of prohibited substances, to make it clear that the way that we describe gene doping and blood doping, they stand on their own and are not meant to be overruled or subsumed by our general category of other substances, and to offset other prohibited substances. And to offset that, we add a provision that allows anyone to use one of these drugs that they're developed in the future for therapeutic uses, provided that they get advanced written permission from the board and follow the board's directions. So that's a summary of the major outlines.
Yeah, if I could, please. Have you had me through the consortium? What's the experience been in other states in terms of legal challenges on collection particularly?
I don't believe that there have been legal challenges, at least on none that I'm aware of. But there is there's a great uniformity among states in believing that these new classes of drugs need to be tackled without competition testing. Kentucky and Indiana, for example, have the idea that if you don't let your horse be sampled, it's ineligible to race for a period of time. They actually require a little bit longer than double what we do. But I'm not aware of any litigation.
Okay, do you think going forward that just other states get into this, that this is going to, that we're going to be able to still have a rule that works from state to state, or individual state restrictions going to be an issue?
I think we will. This is on the agenda for model rules discussions with other states. It has been for some time. Indiana really originated the idea of letting the trainer say whether the horse is not a horse that plans to race, and that's received a lot of interest. Kentucky, I think, has adopted that, and so we. I think that our approach represents the most reasonable and fair approach given the various approaches that have been already tried in other states. But we continue to have conversations about this.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Let me just have a comment regarding the fair and reasonable statement you just made, and how also it's just a boost to the integrity of the industry, and it's paramount that we maintain that integrity. So having said that, I can't thank you enough for your diligent efforts. I know you worked hard on this rule, so I thank you for it, Rick.
I think we have adapted the rule to suggestions from the horsemen and from other sources. There have been some suggestions that really seem more geared toward the few people that might violate the rule as opposed to the vast majority of horsemen who will benefit from the rule. But otherwise, I think that we have carefully considered all the suggestions and tried to incorporate them all.
Good job.
John, if I could, one more time.
Yes.
What will be the upshot of the outstanding litigation then that will happen now?
Well, it's an unfortunately lengthy process before even a rule proposal can be back in front of the board for adoption. And of course, there's a formal public comment period that we have to analyze suggestions in. So I think our case was argued in litigation about a month ago. There's no timetable for when the judge issues his decision. We expect a favorable decision. The only issue that seemed to warrant any serious discussion was our exact definition of prohibited substances. So in the event that our rule is upheld except for that, I think that this would be a timely change to our rule. It would correct the problem that was under discussion.
Thank you.
On note for the record before we vote that the rule does not specifically require a split sample, but in fact none of our other drug rules do. We've designed our procedures for out-of-competition testing to include always asking the owner or trainer whether they want to have a split sample taken and taking enough for additional tests if that is what they want us to do. And with that being said, call for a vote then on the rulemaking on revisions to the out-of-competition drug testing rule. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Item 4 is Capital District Regional OTD request to conduct special demonstration project simulcast theater at Catskill Mountain Lodge.
Mr. Casaragola.
You see a request from Capital OTD for existing, actually it's EasyBet location. The Button Board approved earlier in the year. What the request is basically requesting that this now be a special demonstration project that's provided for in Racing Law under Section 1009-2A. It'll allow it to essentially allow the OTB to not charge surcharge wager on bets at this location. This would replace the special betting demonstration project that was formerly located in Prior Talk down the road from this location, basically. Board is recommending that this matter be approved with the following condition: that admission be limited to exclusive use of the hotel guests at the lodge. Capital OTD will ensure that only such guests are permitted to within the facility. This provision is in statute. We just want to make sure that it's understood that that is a requirement. Which is similar to the same condition that was at the previous location at the Prior Talk. So we'll ask staff for the recommended approval.
What was the result of the demonstration project when it was run at Prior Talk, or do we just call them demonstration projects as a way to approve something under the Racing Law?
I don't know if it was ever independently analyzed. I believe it was just a special designation that provided for that location to have surcharge free wagers.
I mean, I would think it would be quite an enticement, but that's all I want to know.
There's an easy bet at this location now.
This would be an easy bet to get to the special.
Right, and this is, so it'll just be a machine.
It will be at least one or two self-service machines.
Right.
Surcharge free.
Are there any other surcharge-free locations that are just machines without tellers?
Not that I'm aware.
I don't think so.
I don't think there would be, because the only other locations an OTB can have would be a teller theater.
Right. Prior Talk had tellers, did it not?
Prior Talk was in full branch.
Right. And this location is the one on by Merrick Lodge, Mr. Duard.
I forget the owner's name, I believe.
We did an easy bet there.
Yeah,
in the spring, I think his name is Al Duarte.
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
Questions or comments? Hearing none. We'll now vote on the Capital District OTB Special Demonstration Project at the Catskill Mountain Lodge. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
Item 5 is New York Jockey Injury Compensation Commission Incorporated. Funding and assessment formula for the year 2011, premium assessment and formula.
Mr. Firestein, who will share with us some of the most scintillating details of some of the most scintillating meetings we attend during a year.
Yes, indeed.
Well, actually, no, nothing's more fun than actuaries, I'll tell you.
Well, it's toward the end of the year, which brings us to the premium assessment of formula of the Jockey Injury Compensation Fund for next year, 2011. As the board is aware, the JICS is a not-for-profit corporation which obtains workers' compensation coverage on a blanket basis for all of the jockeys, apprentice jockeys, and exercise persons licensed under the Racing Law. And the statute deems the Jockey Injury Compensation Fund to be the employer for workers' comp purposes and makes the employees of the funding under Section 2 of the Workers' Compensation Law. The Job Injury Compensation Fund is required to determine the total of funding required annually. It's collected through the racetracks from owners and trainers, fuel premium assessment, and stall fees. The amount deducted from an ownership process cannot exceed 1% by statute. For the following year coming up, the proposed assessment and formula is set forth in the documents you have. It was approved by the Job Injury Compensation Board on November 10th. It's required to be presented to this board no later than November 15th and must be advertised before it can go into effect once it's approved by the board. This year there is a fairly substantial increase in premium. This is because the premium for 2011 is approximately $3.13 million, whereas last year it was $2.34 million, and the prior year was $1.759 million, because of some large losses and experience ratings. Negative experience ratings, the premium has gone up substantially. For this year, the base premium would be $792 as opposed to $660 in 2009. Shippers will pay $198 per start up to the maximum $792. That's increased from $165 last year. Stall fees have increased at Myra from 65 cents to 78 cents and at Finger Lakes from 25 cents to 30 cents. And the percentage of purses paid will be 0.90% as opposed to 0.75% from the prior year. So the premium has substantially increased, but the assessment has substantially increased because the premium has substantially increased. The JLCF will be, refunding $400 to each payee of the 2009 base premium. In most recent years, the JLCF had been able to refund $500, but $400 is the amount for this year. Pursuant to statute, it's necessary for this board to approve the premium assessment and formula as a plan of operation in the JLCF.
Questions or comments on Job Injury Compensation Fund assessment and funding?
Are they required by statute to use the state insurance fund? I mean,
No, they actually solicit bids and new bids every year from various insurance companies. As it turns out, despite the increase in the premium, this premium actually represents a discount that's negotiated and is less than other insurance companies.
Wow. And in fact, at one point I remember the state insurance fund did not bid on their business, correct?
I believe that's correct.
Right.
But however, this is the 14th year in the world that they're using the JSC.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Now we'll bring to the floor the New York Job Injury Compensation Fund Funding and Assessment Formula 2011. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Now the adjudicatory items.
First one, on the matter of the disqualification of Uptown Charlie Brown in the 2010 Belmont Stakes.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is an appeal from the decision of the stewards at Belmont Park to disqualify Uptown Charlie Brown from fifth place in the Belmont Stakes of 2010, based on the fact that the horse was underweight more than 1 pound in violation of Bill Rule 4036.3. This actually resulted from a weight that dropped from the horse and was not present at the weigh-in, I should say. After consideration of the motion to dismiss the appeal on the ground that it was untimely filed, and a cross motion for summary judgment filed by the owner, the designated hearing officer, Mr. Parente, recommends that the motion to dismiss the appeal as untimely be granted. The hearing officer notes that in the event that the board determines the appeal is timely, then he recommends that the summary judgment motion of the owner be denied and the summary of judgment be granted to the board on the legal issue presented.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the hearing officer's disqualification, upholding the disqualification of Count Charlie Brown, and the untimely filing of an appeal, I'm sorry.
There we go.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's a weight off my shoulders.
At least one sound.
Next item.
Item 7, the matter of Miriam Stubbard.
Mr. Firestand.
Thank you. This is an appeal by Jackie Manley Stewart from the decision of the board, Stewart of Elmont Park, to impose a 15-day license suspension for careless riding in the 6th place of Elmont Park on May 31st of 2010. A hearing was scheduled and held before Mr. Parenti as the designated hearing officer. The hearing officer submitted a report you have before you together with the record, in which the hearing officer recommends that the violation and suspension be upheld.
Questions or comments?
I have comments.
Mr. Diamond.
Very disturbing. Stewart's riding record in New York State. And the matter is, presents itself as a matter of life or death and could cause serious injury, as we know, to the jockey or equine athlete. And we have a, hopefully we have a model in place that escalates the fines. And at some point, there has to be consideration of a revocation of the licensee. After reading the affidavits and going through a file, it seems like Jockey Stewart missed the Jockey 101 class on proper and acceptable and safe riding in New York State. So having said that, yes, I would chime in and say that it seems like 15-day suspension is probably not enough, but it's hopefully a warning that if this continues, that Racing Wagering Board in New York State will deal with her careless riding problem in a harsher and in a harsher way.
I don't disagree. Other questions or comments? Hearing none, then we'll move on to the case of Marilyn Stewart. All those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's decision?
Aye.
Item is approved. That concludes the posted items.
And item, we have 7 items for information discussion. No? We're required for being adjourned at 11:37.
Thank you all for your attention. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one.
Thank you.
See you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to call him and tell him.